We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time to talk politics. It's Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Kevin Hardwick, big week in politics, always a big week in politics. I'd like to welcome to the studio now my guest for the first hour is Michael Crocker. Michael is a former aide to Congressman Chris Collins. He recently was appointed the executive director of Upstate New York. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, I don't want to talk to you for a while. I want to talk to my other guest in studio. Actually, he's going to help me with the interrogation of Michael Crocker, and that's Chris Horvatis from Channel 4. Chris, welcome. First time in the studio here.
It is. Good morning.
Have you ever done radio before?
I have. Back in my Rochester days, I did a couple things over there, but not here at WBEN.
Wow.
So
well,
thanks for having me.
This is great. I gave him the tour of the facility here, and I'm
he very is, scenic.
Duly impressed. Chris, give us a little background on you. You're a local boy, right?
That's right, Lancaster. Born and raised St. Mary's High School, and then at 18 I decided to leave. Stayed in upstate New York, though, Michael. Went
good.
To SUNY Oswego.
Because you couldn't get into Canisius College?
Wasn't smart. All the Western New York.
Yeah,
so, no,
you would have been much better off if you got to Canisius, of course.
No, I wanted to go to Oswego. Oswego has a really good communications program, as I learned while I was there.
And they have mild winters there, too, I understand.
Mild to less than mild, yeah. No, it's coming. The winds are starting to howl out there,
so,
I think.
So now, as I recall, Al Roker of NBC's Weather Guy went to Oswego.
Correct. And Al's a guy who actually, if you watch the Today Show, which of course you don't because you watch Channel 4 all the time.
I've never, they have a show called
That's,
Today?
Yeah. We, of course, CBS This Morning. That's what you want to watch, of
Got
course.
It.
However, Al, he always talking about his Oswego pride, which is great. A lot of the alumni from Oswego have a lot of Oswego pride, which is one of the things I love about it.
So where did you do your, where did you pay your dues before you came to Channel 4?
So if you thought Oswego weather was bad, I got to take you up to Watertown and WWNY-TV because that Tug Hill was
the Tug
was
Hill
rough.
Plateau, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So, and then to Channel 4.
And then to actually WATC in Rochester, and then Channel 4.
Making your way slowly here.
That's
okay.
Right. I call it the tour of Lake Ontario.
All right.
Just kind of work my way around.
Well, listen, you're going to help today, so I'll give you the second question. I got to ask Mike the easy question. A little bit of history of your organization.
Sure, and thanks for having me on. It seems maybe Chris should be the executive
By the way, history of you go back. You and I go back. You were the executive
That's
director
right.
of the Erie County Republican Committee. Did a great job there before going to the
I helped
the
get
Collins
you
organization.
A couple times, so I had to be
you were excellent. You did, as I was telling Chris earlier, you're a very good guy with numbers. I mean, anybody can handle a spreadsheet, manipulate it, but you knew what you were looking for and you knew how to find it. Also should be noted, you went to SUNY College at Geneseo.
I did,
because you also couldn't get into Canisius.
Oh, I think it's a well-regarded public Ivy, so we're in good shape.
Anyway, go ahead. So
yeah, absolutely.
A little history of the Unshackle Upstate.
I took over as executive director at Unshackle earlier in September. This is a pro-taxpayer, pro-employer advocacy organization made up of five regional chambers of commerce that serve on my board. So I'll be working with our state legislators in hopes of advancing pro-upstate legislation. That's obviously going to be a difficult road to travel as we're looking at some changes coming in November in Albany, perhaps. But, yeah, it's a great opportunity, and I'm proud to be working for, my hometown community.
Well, Chris Horvatis at Channel 4 is just chomping at the bit to ask a Collins question. And we talked beforehand, and we don't want this to become
sure.
the Chris Collins show, or we don't got to get bogged down in this. So I told him he could have one question and one follow-up. So, Chris, take your best shot.
They would take my journalism card away if I didn't ask.
Right.
First, talk about this. You were a longtime aide to him.
That's correct.
And you were when he was indicted on federal insider trading charges early August. What was it like in the office that day? I'd imagine there was a lot of confusion, a lot of discussion, speculation. Take us inside the office that day.
Yeah, it was not a fun day, that's for sure. We, you know, when we got the news, we sat down as a an office, both with our Washington folks and our district folks, had a call, explained what was happening, and figured out how we were going to move forward and what we were going
to
do next.
Was the congressman on that call? Did he talk to you guys that day?
No, he was not.
Did you ever have any concerns with his relationship with Innate Immunotherapeutics, which is the company sort of in the middle of all this?
Well, obviously, it was certainly a situation we were all very familiar with. There was a OCE investigation. There was a lot of media that went around it. So, yeah, it was a part of the challenges of our office for a long time.
And then you decided to go and work with Unshackle Upstate. Why move over there?
I had actually – my conversations with the organization began – well before all this happened. Greg Barilla, my predecessor, was moving on to NFIB, and I became aware that this was an opening. I'd been with the congressman for a long time, was looking for maybe an opportunity to change things up, obviously, with that situation. It maybe made the jump a little easier, but it was something I had been exploring regardless of the indictment.
It certainly had to be a lot less stressful making going over there to
but a lot more territory, that's for sure.
Well, a lot more territory. You talked earlier about the driving. I mean, how much territory do you cover?
All of upstate New York, really. So, you know.
Where is upstate New York?
Yeah, that's we could spend a whole show on that.
Yeah, that's a whole question, right? We sort of define it as
so. Is it pretty much every place Chris Horvatitz has worked?
Oswego
and Watertown.
Name an upstate TV station that Chris worked at, and that's our map. No, it's a lot of territory. I was up in Plattsburgh. That's a long drive. I have a lot of sympathy.
Like seven and a half hours for Buffalo, right?
Yeah, something that's like that. Right. That's right. And there's a state park right in the middle of it that's hard to traverse. So,
yeah, do you ever get the inlet?
Not yet.
That's a Chris Horvatitz inside.
Yes.
No, Chris and I have a love of the Adirondacks and Old Forge where I vacation,
right.
Inlet where he
mutual vacation destination.
I get up to Brandingham.
Let me ask you about the organization. Who funds it? I mean, it's a pro-business, pro-taxpayer group. How does it differ from, let's say, the business council?
So my organization is made up of five upstate New York regional chambers of commerce, Buffalo, Rochester, Binghamton, North Country, and Associated Builders and Contractors. I think our big differentiating standpoint is that we're solely upstate focused. We're the only upstate only advocacy organization in Albany. There's, you know, sort of always that traditional upstate downstate divide in the state legislature. We provide a voice for the upstate business community and the upstate taxpayer.
So you might differ a little bit from, say, the business council, which represents the entire state?
I like to say that we are an unapologetic advocate for upstate New York. That's where our membership is. New York City's economy is a lot different than ours, so I'm fighting for upstate focused issues.
And I asked you earlier, you work out of the partnership, the Buffalo Niagara partnership here gives
Dottie
you some office
Gallagher
space.
Was kind enough to open up some space for me. And
how many are there other staff people, or is it just you?
I have one part time employee.
So, and you cover a lot of ground. Okay. What sort of things have you been advocating for recently, legislation-wise?
Sure.
So, tell me, I mean, you were not there for this legislative session. You were still working for Chris Collins. The legislative session ended in late June, early July. But what, how, from your organization's standpoint, Unshackle Upstate, how did the state legislature do this session?
Well, this session was fortunate. I mean, there was one big success in that they got workers' compensation reform, which was historic victory, had been on our agenda for a long time, hadn't been reformed in over 10 years. That's going to lower the cost of doing business all across New York State. But, you know, going forward, we've got a lot of issues on our agenda. There's efforts in Albany to advance a single-payer health care system, $200 billion in new taxes. There are prevailing wage law expansions that are concerning. Employer, you know, these mandates on employers that we just can't afford.
All right, we have Chris Horvatitz of Channel 4 with a non-Collins question.
That's right.
For Mike Crocker, Executive Director of Unshackle Upstate.
Now, two of the big issues that are expected to come up in Albany next year, and I want you to tell me how these, if at all, affect the business climate, business community here in Western and upstate New York. Recreational marijuana is the first one, and I'll let you touch on that. Does Unshackle Upstate take a position
actually,
on that?
This came up on our weekly board call last week. You know, it's maybe not something that you traditionally think of as an employer issue, but there are certainly some concerns for employers. You know, are you allowed to screen for marijuana, or is it going to be regulated like alcohol? You know, in New York State, for example, we're the only state in the nation that has a scaffold law, which puts full liability on contractors for anybody who's injured on the job.
And
if somebody comes to work high on marijuana and they get hurt, the contractor's still going to be liable for full coverage. So
that scaffold law is something that contractors say just drives up their insurance premiums, makes it tough
100%.
For them to continue to pay for what they do. And as you referenced, New York's the only state in the union with that on the books, and there doesn't seem to be a discussion, hasn't seemed to have been a discussion over the past couple of years in Albany to get rid of that.
Well, some of the senators that I've talked to have indicated that there is an appetite to look at this issue. It's huge for my membership. It drives up the cost of doing business. It stifles development here in New York. And it's, like you said, we're the only state that has this law. It's 100% liability on the employer. We'd like to see, you know, legislation to reform that so that there's a comparative, standard for, you know, liability.
And the second issue expected to come up is sports gambling, something a lot of other states have already looked at. Is that something that Unshackle Upstate has been looking at?
I don't think it's something that we've looked into. Obviously, there's likely an employer component to that, but I don't think it's on our agenda.
One of the things that recently came out that I know Unshackle Upstate had taken a close look at was the business tax, the index report, the basically a report on the tax climate of all 50 states. New York ranked 48th.
Yep.
Only ahead of California and New Jersey. And some of the specific rankings in that: individual income tax rank 48th, sales tax rank 42nd, property tax rank 47th. That's what you're up against, right?
Absolutely. I mean, New York State's well regarded as one of the least business-friendly states in the nation. We have people leaving the state for better opportunity. I know the governor just recently kind of stepped in it by saying that people are only leaving here because of the weather. We know that's not true. People are leaving because it's tough to do business. It's expensive to live here. We overregulate and tax everything too high.
If you're just tuning in, our guest this morning is Michael Crocker. Mike is the new executive director of Unshackle Upstate. He's being questioned just a moment ago by Chris Horvatitz of Channel 4, a very well-prepared, I might add, Chris Horvatitz. He's actually done his research
much
more so than me. I think we're going to turn the show over to Chris shortly. We have to take a break now. When we return, Mike will be here. Chris will still be here. Eventually, we'll get around to taking your calls if you want to line up to talk to Michael Crocker. 803-0930, the number to call, 803-0930. In the meantime, I'm Kevin Hardwick. You're listening to Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome back to Hardline. This is Kevin Hardwick sitting here with Michael Crocker, Mike, the new executive director of Unshackle Upstate, a pro-business, pro-taxpayer group. And also Chris Horvatitz of Channel 4. Chris Horvatitz of Channel 4 along to help ask the questions. Mike, my understanding is that your organization also makes endorsements
for
state offices.
That's correct.
Let me guess, you're not endorsing Governor Cuomo?
Well, we don't typically endorse in statewide, but I would be surprised if the governor was able to get our support. We did just last week roll out our legislative scorecards. That is a part of our overall endorsement process, which we'll be rolling out this week. The scorecards are available on our website at unshackleupstate.com. We view those as a taxpayer tool for folks to be able to go in and see how their legislators are doing on issues that matter to Upstate
New York.
If I look
at the scorecard, what am I going to see? Just a score? Will I see individual issues? Or?
We're pretty thorough. Each legislator will be given a grade out of 100. You can go in and see which bills we've offered an organizational opinion on. You can read a bill memo about our organization's stand and read where a legislator came down on that issue.
On Governor Cuomo, one of the things he's celebrated champion is the tax cap, and I know that's something a lot of people want to see made permanent. It currently sunsets in a couple years. Is that something you'd like to see as
well? Yeah, that's one of our top policy items, is seeing the property tax cap made permanent. It was a success in the governor's first term back when he was a little bit more pro-business and pro-taxpayer. We want to see that made permanent so that, and then ultimately what we want to see is mandate relief so our property taxes actually start to decrease.
So you've seen him turn maybe to less business friendly in his second term. Would you say that?
Absolutely. I think that's true. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that, but there's no question that the second term of the governor has been a lot less friendly to employers and taxpayers. There's, you know, sort of a push, I think, nationally, but towards more progressive democratic politics that I think, unfortunately, tries to demonize business owners. And we're trying to drag that conversation back to a more rational approach where we're celebrating, you know, employers creating jobs and creating an environment where they can continue to do so.
What about his weather comment? You made reference to it last segment, but a lot of people had a lot to say about that. Do you think it's something where he was trying to be tongue-in-cheek, or what'd you make of that?
No, I think he's you know, maybe trying to be unrealistic about the situation here in New York. You referenced the Tax Foundation's rankings of New York being near the bottom. You and I, you know, probably have a lot of friends who have left New York State. I've never heard one of them say it was because of the snow. They're leaving because they're looking for jobs. They're going to places like Charlotte. They're going to Texas. They're going to Florida, states that have better business climates, not better weather. They happen to have that, too, but that's not the reason they're leaving.
You got to deal with something everywhere. It's hurricanes in Carolinas. It's snow in upstate New York. There's something everywhere.
Yeah, and you know, we people who live here, we love it here. We've got... You know, I think we've got great weather. You know,
today,
maybe notwithstanding.
Today's not the right day to have the conversation.
That's Michael Crocker from Unshackle Upstate. He's the new executive director there. Chris Horvatitz is asking the lion's share of the questions, which is fine with me. I love people like
it's
this.
Like
Kevin said to me, I need a day off, Chris.
Sit my sample. You talked about endorsements a little while ago. Did you actually make endorsements, or are you just giving grades?
We will be making endorsements next week.
I assume that you'll come out for a lot of Republicans in the state Senate, and you know, the state Senate is really where the battle is this year, and the question is, will Democrats finally get control again of the state Senate? And that's got to worry you.
Yeah, there was an article in the Buffalo News today about this topic that is worth a read. Obviously, we've worked very closely with the Senate Republicans because they've offered us an opportunity to get upstate's voice into the conversation. If the Senate should flip, my big concern is with upstate having a voice in the room. There's only currently, I think, three Democratic senators in upstate New York. If they should be in the majority in that chamber, we're just not going to have the bodies in the room where the decisions are getting made.
If that happens, and it does flip, one of those senators is Tim Kennedy from right here in New York. Do you have much of a relationship with Tim?
I certainly know the senator, and I know he'll, if they have control of the chamber, he'll be playing.
You'll know him a lot better.
Yeah, he'll be playing an important role, that's for sure. And, you know, we've known each other since he was a county legislator. But, you know, that's, I think, part of the concern there is that Tim Kennedy is in Buffalo. Then you have to go out to the Syracuse area to find another Democratic state senator, and then there's one in Albany. That's it for upstate New York. The rest of it is in New York City and on Long Island. And they're going to be the ones that are controlling all the levers of government, and we're just not going to have a voice.
Is that where your focus is going to be? Because the Assembly, for a long time, for decades, has been a lost cause for Republicans.
Yeah, certainly I don't think there's any chance that the Republicans are going to get that majority back. But, you know, we do have a strong Assembly member here in Crystal Peoples-Stokes. It's certainly been speculated that she might be the majority leader, deputy majority leader, now that Joe Morelli's moving on. That is certainly would be a helpful voice for Buffalo and have somebody in the room that can.
Do you have a relationship with Crystal currently?
I don't currently, but I know she's got a good relationship with Dottie Gallagher at the partnership, so I'll be using that as a mechanism to get in front of her if I want to talk to her about any legislation.
Okay, we've got a break coming up. I'm on the Hour News. We've got Alan Harris standing by in the news pod. We'll get to him in a second. Let me reset the table here before we go to break. We're talking this morning with Mike Crocker. Mike is the new executive director of Unshackle Upstate. Helping me with the questioning is Chris Horvatitz, a St. Mary's boy.
That's correct.
St. Mary's boy, yeah, local guy, now at Channel 4. We'll take some of your calls afterwards at 803-0930 after the news. I'm Kevin Hardwick. You're listening to Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN. And welcome back to Hardline, Kevin Hardwick here in our alternative Buffalo Bills pregame show we're doing here with Chris Horvatitz from Channel 4 along to help me ask questions of Mike Crocker. Mike is the new executive director of Upshackle. There you go. Unshackle Upstate. Let me think about that for a minute. Yeah, Unshackle Upstate. Pro-business group, group of Chamber of Commerce has got together and trying to fight for businesses and taxpayers upstate with an upstate focus. We called for calls at 803-0930, 803-0930. If you have a call for Mike Crocker, you want to talk about the business climate in upstate New York or why people are leaving, 803-0930, the number to call. Let's go first to Ken in Amherst. Ken, welcome to the program. Thank you for holding.
Hey, Michael, can you tell me why our sales tax rate is 8.75% when Rochester, Syracuse, and Niagara Falls only pay 8%?
Well, I think that's a county-by-county decision. Obviously, I think Kevin might have some perspective on that. But I think part of the reason why that's the case is because New York State puts so many unfunded mandates onto our counties. So our counties, unfortunately, have to live on sales tax dollars because their property tax bill is going to pay the Medicaid bill. I don't know, Kevin, if
I think you're right. We have one of the highest, not the highest, but one of the highest sales tax rates in the state of New York. And I think it's a choice. You have to pay for government services, including the many mandates that Michael and his group are fighting against somehow. And I think a long time ago, before I came on the county legislature, the decision was made here in Erie County. We'd rather pay for that in sales tax than in property tax. I mean, we have both, but the mix you'll find is different. I think if you went to, we have one of the largest sales tax rates in the state, but we have one of the lowest, property tax rates. That's not to say that our property taxes are low. It's just that if you go up to Niagara County, if you go over to Monroe County, if you go to others, you'll find that ours is lower. Does that help, Ken?
Yeah, it does. Can I just add one other point?
Yeah, yes, you may.
My daughter lives near San Francisco and everything is three times as expensive there for housing. Is anyone approach PayPal, Twitter, or any of those companies and ask them if they would like to open a branch in New York?
Well, I think they've tried. I know that the Buffalo at Rochester communities made a joint pitch for Amazon.
Amazon, certainly, yes.
Selected. But I think that gets to the larger point that my organization focuses on is why would a company want to locate themselves here in New York State when there are so many other more business-friendly climates that you can get into? So, you know, we struggle to attract new businesses from outside New York to come here because it's just so expensive.
Ken, thank you for calling this morning. Appreciate it. We dropped Ken, and if you'd like that line, you can have it. 803-0930, the number to call. 803-0930. In the meantime, let's squeeze in another question from Chris Horvatitz of Channel 4 from Mike Crocker of Unshackle Upstate.
And on Ken's point about sales tax, it may be a touch higher in Erie County, but it is a statewide problem, right? Again, the Tax Foundation ranks New York 42nd countrywide in sales tax. Is that just another piece of what goes into this tax climate that you're referencing? Why would Amazon want to come here?
Yeah, no, I think so, and I think people make decisions based off their pocketbooks. I mean, people will travel. You know, it's not uncommon for somebody to travel down to Pennsylvania to go shopping for school clothes for their kids because, you know, the tax issue. People make these decisions based off of, you know, their pocketbooks. So that sales tax is just another piece of the puzzle of why New York State is such an difficult place to live.
Mike, before the break, before the last break, Chris asked a question about the weather and Governor Cuomo's weather question. You know, this past week, or maybe it was a little over a week ago, a study came out from someone talking about global warming, and we're one of the two cities that, are going to be uniquely positioned for global warming, yes? I mean, our weather is actually can be an asset down the road,
sure.
Especially since we'll have water.
Sure, yeah, the fresh water is nice, but who knows? Maybe we'll see this thing turn around for other reasons than our fixing our business climate.
So, is there any? I mean, in your current job, you came over from Colin's job, and you had to be a little bit concerned about job security there. Your current job as executive director of Unshackle Upstate, you could probably retire from that because as much as we'd like to talk about you know, everything that needs to be done and hope that it'll get done, there'll probably, by the time you retire, and you're not, you know, you're a spring chicken compared to me, but still, you know, you'll probably be doing this for a long time because the shackles, there are a lot of shackles to come off.
I say, you know, my, part of my job is to shine a spotlight on some of the stupid things Albany does. And to that extent, you know, business is good because Albany, is not afraid to put forward pieces of legislation that are just crazy and make us completely non-competitive with the rest of the country.
Have things, as you look back, and you haven't been executive director of Unshackle Upstate for long, but you've been certainly beginning with the Erie County Republican Committee and then with Congressman Collins' office, you've been, you know, observing what's going on. Have things over time in the last decade gotten better or worse upstate?
I think they've probably gotten worse. You know, we've had, some legislative issues come up, minimum wage. You know, in that debate, we were successful in getting a carve out for upstate so that the burden wouldn't be as significant here as it would be down in New York City. But, you know, that's driving out businesses. I saw an article, yesterday in the Syracuse newspaper, a restaurant that had been open in Syracuse for over 100 years closed their doors, and they directly cited the business climate here in New York is the reason for doing that. They wrote a letter on their Facebook page to the governor saying that it's just too expensive and it's not worth it. Part of that, I think, is minimum wage. Part of that, I think, is mandates on business. So
one more question from Chris Horvatitz before the break.
What is the number one problem facing mom and pop shops right now in the state? Is it minimum wage increase?
I think it's probably taxes, but minimum wage is certainly a part of that. You know, there's just so many taxes, so many mandates, so many things placed on the burdens placed on small business owners that it's impossible to keep up. You know, a bigger company might be able to, you know, bring somebody on to sort of handle some of these regulatory issues for them. A small mom and pop shop doesn't have the bandwidth to do that, but they got to keep up with it regardless. So at some point you make a cost benefit analysis and say, is it just better for us to close our doors and do something else because we can't keep up and we can't afford to stay in business?
All right, we have to take another break now, but we'll have one more segment with Mike Crocker of Unshackle Upstate. Also, Chris Horvatitz from Channel 4 standing by. At the top of the hour, by the way, after the news, we'll be joined live in studio by Dr. Tim Callen, works for the Erie County Legislature. Also, Bob and Sue Gregg, friends of mine, my common people. And we'll be talking about the events of the week, the Kavanaugh confirmation and the fallout from that and everything. But as I said, one more segment with Mike Crocker, Unshackle Upstate, business climate, New York State, people leaving. If you have questions or comments for Michael, give us a call now, 803-0930, 803-0930. I'm Kevin Hardwick. You're listening to Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN. And welcome back to the program. Again, alternative bills programming here. We send out a sad note. We send out our condolences to regular producer Joe Beamer today. I'm told that his Virginia Tech Hokies got smoked yesterday by Notre Dame. It's sad. So we hope Joe will be back next
thoughts
week.
And prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. That's right. That's Scott Miller, fill-in producer, who you would not believe what's going on behind the scenes, the difficulties we're dealing with today, and Scott has everything in hand. So thanks to Scott. He's doing a fantastic job. Also doing a fantastic job at Upstate. Upstate.
You're going to get that by the end of the show.
That's Chris Horvatitz. It's giving me a hard time from Channel 4. Unshackle Upstate, Mike Crocker in. And we have some calls. Again, if you want to get in line, 803-0930, the number to call. Russ in Hamburg is next. Russ, welcome to the program. Thank you for holding.
Hi, Kevin. I'm a friend of Michael's from a long time
ago. Russ Gugino, how are you?
Oh, Russ Gugino and a friend of this program.
Ball.
Yeah. So someday we may let you back on.
Listen, I want to ask a serious question, and that is Andrew Cuomo said not too long ago, in response to the question of why are taxes so high in New York, he said, well, people want services, and they've chosen me and my method to pay for them. That may be true to an extent, but have you given any thought to voter initiatives? And I'd love to see an initiative of keeping, but let's say, the personal income tax in New York to 5%. And see whether or not that would pass. Because I'll bet you it would, and then that would constrain spending, and I'll bet you you'll probably get some people moving back to this state. But as long as the people are closed out of the process, as long as they don't have an opportunity to vote on an initiative themselves, not through the legislature and not through the governor, but an initiative that can be put on the ballot, I think that would be a great way to energize your organization, Mike, and lots of organizations that feel powerless to cut taxes in this state.
Well, let me get in before Russ, stay on the line before you get in there. Of course, there was a referendum last year on a constitutional convention in which, if we reform the state constitution, you could get things in there like initiative and referendum that they have in other states, and that just tanked miserably.
Yeah, except that they could pass a law, or they could pass an amendment to the constitution without going to a constitutional convention.
You're right, but it would take time. It would take two passages of the state legislature, independently elected state legislatures, and the legislators, it can be argued, are the ones that benefit from the current system.
Well, maybe so, but I think that if you empower people to be able to initiate not just a question of taxes, but even a question of how they want to direct the state's resources in other ways, environmentally or in terms of economic, or even property tax, how they want to pay for their services, so to speak.
Sure. Russ, let me, you asked the question, Mike. I interjected my own views in there. Let me throw it over to Mike.
Yeah, I agree with Kevin. I don't think that the legislators are likely to put forward something that would sort of weaken their ability or give control to others than themselves. But, obviously New York has a very high budget. We have a larger budget than Texas and Florida combined. It's up to the legislators to decide what their priorities are, what services they want to provide to the voters. But there's no question there are silly things that Albany spends money on. You know, the tax credits for films and things like that is just a huge giveaway. So I think if the voters were given the opportunity to decide, I think there's no question you'd see lower taxes here. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Russ, thanks for calling
thanks,
in.
Russ.
Appreciate it. Russ, we drop Russ. Thank him for his question. If you want to get in, there may be just time. 803-0930, the number to call. Well, let me follow up on tax credits for film production. You don't think that's a good idea?
No,
I mean, we've had some, no, in all seriousness, we've had some films here locally. Without the tax credits, we probably wouldn't have had that economic activity.
I think, you know, when you're dealing with the budget deficits that they're dealing with in Albany and the out of control taxes that we have here in New York, you can make a case that, you know, there are better priorities to allocate our resources towards.
But the point is, there's if without those credits, there would be nothing to tax because they wouldn't be here.
Yeah, but there's a cost associated with that, and is that cost appropriate? And is that creating sort of a larger problem for us?
You know, one of the other things that people talk a lot about when we talk about economic development is the role of the industrial development agencies. And, some people point to the fact that we have multiple industrial development agencies in Erie County, and maybe that's not such a great idea because sometimes they compete against one another. Where, you mentioned and the reason I'm talking about this is because you mentioned the film tax credits. Where does Unshackle Upstate come down on tax breaks for businesses through IDAs and the like?
I don't think that there's any interest necessarily from our organization to change the IDA system. You know, I've talked a lot about, you know, thinking more globally, you know, sort of these targeted economic development issues, Buffalo Billion, or, you know, large incentives to companies like Yahoo and things like that. I think no community is ever going to push back on economic development dollars coming to their neighborhoods. But I believe that if you, were to make the business climate more friendly holistically, you wouldn't have to have these huge economic giveaways.
Let's go back to the phones, and after that, we have one more. We'll squeeze in one more phone call, and then maybe one more question from Chris Horvatitz of Channel 4. That'll give him time to think up a question. Yes, we're on with Rita. Welcome to the program. You have a question for Michael.
Yes, I do. I want to know why the governor can't stop spending money like the drunken sailor. If he did, we wouldn't have such high taxes.
All right, Rita, thank you for that that question for Mike. Mike, the governor, drunken sailor.
Well, I think it's clear. You know, I talked about it earlier on the show. There's been like a tale of two governors. There was term one Governor Cuomo, who seemed to be concerned about things like high taxes and high spending, and then there's term two governor who has been, you know, quite liberal.
Do you think
liberal
the challenge from the left in the primary had something to do with that?
I think that there's
before,
no question.
Before it came, of course, it was rumored that it was going to happen.
Yeah, I think he's responded to both his own politics in New York State, and I think the national trends of, you know, a more progressive side of government. So that's been a marked change. He was, I think, largely considered a close ally to the business community in his first term. I don't think it's too hard to remember a time where even Republican legislators were, you know, trying to get in that picture with him and put that on their campaign material. That's not been the case in term two.
Okay, Chris Horvatitz.
Being a pro-business organization, interested to get your perspective on this. There's a debate in Erie County right now over whether to spend hundreds of millions of dollars building a new convention center, and the argument in favor is that building a new convention center would improve the business climate in downtown Buffalo and in the surrounding areas. Do you think that would happen?
Well, I certainly think it would be interesting. It's the costs associated with it are going to be very high, and it'll be interesting to see how exactly they intend to fund that program, what kind of investment New York State makes, what kind of investment the county makes. There's no question. I think our convention center is antiquated.
40 years old.
Yeah. It's certainly not a marquee destination. It just comes down to how it's going to get funded. Where are the dollars going to come from? It's going to be an extremely expensive project. And I know obviously it's Sunday and we're all getting ready to watch the Bills. There's also talk about what a new Buffalo Bills stadium could look like. And I think, you know, you're seeing some of the realities there with the costs associated with it, and that slowed that process down. So it all comes down, I think, to dollars and cents.
Well, and there's talk about maybe combining the two. I don't think you can talk about the two projects in a vacuum. You have to combine the two. Even if you do them separately, those are both big ticket items, and you're hoping for a lot of money from Albany. But then that kind of begs the question: we're talking here about cutting taxes in Albany. If you cut taxes, will there be enough money for the things we want? Well, we'll say, well.
And will our friends downstate want to send all that money to Buffalo to build a football stadium or a convention center? I don't know, but that's going to, you know, gets to the crux of my original point about where the power is in Albany. And if it's downstate, I don't know that those guys are going to be too hungry to send that amount of money to Buffalo.
We've been talking this hour to Michael Crocker, the executive director of Unshackle Upstate. Michael, we got about a minute left. You can turn the tables. Do you have any questions for Chris Horvatitz of Channel 4? He's been kind of tough on you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not fair. Come on.
Well, come on. Yeah, the media, the fake media don't like it when we turn the tables on him, right?
Well, he's got a baseball series to watch. I think is going to be more exciting than me. I told him at the top of in our conversation before that I'm an Indians fan and we're down two. He's Red Sox, so he's in a good spot.
Oh, I thought he might be an Astros fan or something.
I think I like the Astros in the context that I think they got a really good roster, a better roster than the Indians. I apologize, Mike, but well, I think they got a really good roster.
I'm with our buddy, our producer Scott here in the control room. I'm a Mets fan, so we're for who are we for?
Yeah, you've got
for nobody. We don't care. We
not Atlanta.
Not Atlanta, exactly. Not Atlanta. Okay, here's a vote for not Atlanta. Listen, Alan Harris standing by with the top of the hour news. I want to thank my guests for this first hour.
Kevin, thank you.
Chris Horvatitz from Channel 4 and Mike Crocker from Unshackle Upstate. That website again?
Unshackleupstate.com.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.